Members, if you'll take your seats. The Ways and Means Committee will come to order. Rosa, will you please call the roll?
Chair Payne.
Here.
Vice Chair Zika. Ranking Member Escamani.
Here.
Representatives Altman.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Clemens. DeSigley, excused. Grieco, excused. Hart.
Here.
Hillebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Maggart, excused. McLean.
Here.
Sabatini. Schoaf.
Here.
Silvers, excused. Saroy.
Here.
Schlossberg, excused. A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, I want to remind everyone to please silence your electronic devices. And welcome back. It's good to see all of you. Thanks for being here today. You know, I want to comment a little bit on last year before we have a presentation. The presentation today will be very similar to last year's, but just want to thank you for the great work we had in last year's committee. And I think we had a very successful tax package that came out. A lot of positive feedback came from that, and especially with the Freedom Florida holidays that we implemented through the allocation that we had. Members, we have one new member with us today, and we made introductions last year, but I think we're all familiar and know each other. But I want to give Representative Saroy an opportunity to introduce himself to our committee.
Thank you very much, Chair Payne, committee members. It's a pleasure to join you. Excited about this committee appointment. Look forward to learning with you and working through the many issues and opportunities facing our state. I'm from Brevard County, where we have Kennedy Space Center, Port Canaveral, Merritt Island. So really excited to bring a Space Coast perspective to Ways and Means. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And members, you'll see we have some new digs in the office, in the committee room, upgraded committee room. And we have some new staff members, so I want to give our policy chief an opportunity to introduce those folks. So, Vince, if you would, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have two new staff members with the Ways and Means Committee this year. Alexandra Latore, she's a policy analyst. She's got a bachelor's degree in economics and international affairs from Florida State University. She comes to us from the Executive Office of the Governor, where she worked in their Office of Policy and Budget. And she joined us 2 weeks ago. Catherine Davis is a policy analyst. She's got a bachelor's degree from FSU in history, a law degree from the University of Alabama. And Catherine has previously worked as a criminal prosecutor and spent 3 years at the Department of Revenue as an attorney handling property tax matters. And she joined the committee staff in September of this year.
Great, thank you, Vince. Members, we have, again, as I mentioned, a presentation very similar to last year's for our first meeting to get us up to speed. I want to remind you that this is really just an update of our revenues and an update for our state revenues. We'll get into policy discussions later on in committees. And so with that, Vince, take it away. Thank you. And you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as Chair Payne mentioned, this is a presentation. It's similar to a presentation that I gave to the committee at our first interim committee week meeting last year. We thought it would be helpful to just go over where our revenue, what our revenue picture looks like. And to see how it's changed from last year. In a nutshell, things look better than they did last year. You may recall that the overview that we gave on revenues was a little bit cloudy and uncertain. There still is some uncertainty, but things look better now than they did at this point last year. So I'm going to talk just briefly about revenue forecasting and Florida's economy, touch on GR, and then specifically talk about sales tax collections. So to start with, and this is a slide that I showed you last year, but just to get an idea of where the state's revenues come from, this is intended to show you at a high level the various sources of state revenue. This data is from the most recent pre-pandemic year to give you a feel for what a normal year looks like. As you might imagine, last year's numbers were significantly impacted by one-time federal funding the state received in response to COVID. So this pie chart for fiscal year 2021 would show a much larger piece of the pie for federal assistance. But as you can see, about 31% of our state revenue normally comes from the federal government. And this includes things like federal money for Medicaid, federal dollars we receive for transportation projects, and federal money we receive for education. Trust fund revenue represents about 26% of our state revenue. Major trust funds include things like the State Transportation Trust Fund, which is funded largely by motor fuel taxes and motor vehicle fees, the Educational Enhancement Trust Fund, which gets revenue from lottery sales and slot machine tax revenue, and the State School Trust Fund, which receives revenue from sales of unclaimed property. The local government piece of this pie represents state dollars that are shared with local governments. For example, the state shares sales tax revenue with counties through the half-cent sales tax program, and that represents about half of the piece of that piece of the pie. And then finally, of course, general revenue, GR, represents about 37% of state revenues. And I'm going to talk a bit more about general revenue with a little more specificity and the underlying economic components of GR on the next few slides. So Florida state revenue streams, of course, have direct connections to the economy in Florida and economic activity occurring in Florida. As most of you know, in Florida, we have a consensus estimating conference process that is specifically meant to assist in the planning and budgeting process. The Economic Estimating Conference meets periodically to adopt and update a national economic forecast and a state-specific Florida economic forecast. Key economic variables are then used to model the likely paths of individual revenue sources and resource needs. This slide shows some of the major economic variables that are forecasted, and I'm going to talk a little bit about each one with the next few slides. So this first slide shows total personal income estimates in Florida. The blue bars in this and each of the following slides represent the 2019, December 2019 forecast, which was the last adopted forecast pre-pandemic, before any effects of the pandemic were known. The gray line is the November 2020 forecast, which is what I showed you last year. And then the dark blue line is the most recent forecast done in July. So as you can see, the most recent forecast for personal income actually shows an increase over pre-pandemic estimates, and certainly a significant increase over what we were expecting last year. The sharp jump that you see in 2021 may be a little counterintuitive. You might think that during a pandemic and a downturn in the economy that personal income would be affected, but this data series includes, personal income is wages, but it also includes things like transfers from the federal government. So the stimulus checks that individuals that a lot of us received are included in that, as are transfers from enhanced unemployment benefits. This slide depicts the unemployment rate in Florida. And as with the other charts, the dark blue bars, the blue bars represent the pre-pandemic forecast. The gray line represents the November 2020 forecast, which expected the 2021 unemployment rate to go as high as 7%. As you can see, based on the dark blue line representing the most recent forecast done in July, the spike in fiscal year 2021 was not quite as severe as expected in the unemployment rate. And the unemployment rate is actually now expected to fall below pre-pandemic estimates by 2023. The current unemployment rate in Florida is 5% in August of 2021. This slide shows the non-farm employment numbers in Florida. These are actual filled jobs. Again, the blue bars show the pre-pandemic estimates for non-farm employment. And you'll see here that These are not expected to return to pre-pandemic estimates during the forecast period. One thing to note here, Florida lost almost 1.3 million jobs between February 2020 and April of 2020. As of August 2021, which is the most recent data available, we had regained about 1 million of those jobs. This is pretty good, but it means that there are fewer people working today in Florida than there were just prior to the pandemic. This slide shifts to some housing market indicators, specifically to the number of new private homes being constructed. The gray line represents the November 2020 forecast, which expected the number of new homes being built in 2020 and 2021 to be sharply above our pre-pandemic expectations, which are again represented by the blue bars. The dark blue line representing the July 2021 forecast, the most recent forecast, further increases the expected number of new homes to be built. And construction is not expected to slow back down to pre-pandemic levels within the forecast period. This indicator tells us something about sales tax collections, insofar as building materials are generally taxable, and sales of new homes usually carry with it or are accompanied by purchases of taxable goods, like new appliances for the new home. Home sales also affect documentary stamp tax collections. Doc stamps are generally collected on the sale of real property. The median price of single-family homes, I think a lot of us are aware that home prices have gone up in Florida and nationally significantly. This slide shows you the median price of single-family homes in Florida. Within the 10 years shown on the graph, the median single price, the single family home price in Florida is expected to increase from just over $250,000 in 1920 to over $400,000 in fiscal year 28-29. At the end of July, the median single family home price in Florida was $355,000, which is just, you can see from the bar, that's a really significant increase over where it had been. With this slide, you can see that the number of new cars and light trucks being purchased dropped dramatically in 2020 before being forecast to above pre-pandemic estimates in 2021. Moving forward, the estimated sales of new vehicles is expected to fall just below our pre-pandemic estimates for the foreseeable future. And finally, total visitors to Florida. Not surprisingly, tourism is important for Florida's economy, and there are strong linkages between tourism and our state revenue streams, primarily through sales tax. I wanted to show you on this slide where the total number of visitors to Florida was forecasted to be pre-pandemic, again, the blue bars, and what the post-pandemic estimates are. Unlike some of the other indicators we've looked at, the estimates for total visitors in Florida has not really shifted all that much from this time last year. They both show a sharp drop in visitors in 2021 over pre-pandemic estimates. And the current forecast for visitors continues to be below our pre-pandemic forecast in 2022 and 23 before getting back to close to what we previously were expecting in 2024. So with that overview of some of the key economic indicators that are forecasted by the Economic Estimating Conference, I'll focus a little bit more on general revenue. This slide gives you a quick look at how general revenue for the last 20 or so years has come in, what the collections have looked like, both the history of actual collections and the forecast for the coming years, which is to the right of the dark line there. The blue columns at the bottom show the annual amount of change. The most prominent feature in the history is the run-up between 2004 and 2006, and then the collapse from 2007 to 2009 as a consequence of the Great Recession. And then you can also see the dip in general revenue experienced in fiscal year 1920 as a result of the pandemic. Since the mid-2000s crash, we had 10 years of uninterrupted growth until 1920, when the effects of the pandemic were first felt on GR collections. And while the 1920 collections were low, you can see that the 2021 collections rebounded significantly, and that is indicated by the portion of the chart to the right of the vertical black line. The forecast expects growth to continue at a fairly steady pace in fiscal year 21-22 and thereafter. This slide shows the annual percentage changes embedded in the previous chart. And the variability in the history is more apparent here. You can see in 2004 to 2006, the run-up, the significant increases, 2007 to 2009 crash, where you can see the big negatives, and the pandemic impacts in 2020 and 2021. The main point to take from this is that there is significant growth expected beginning in 2021, and then modest and decelerating growth thereafter. With this slide and the next one, I want to show you more specifically the last pre-pandemic general revenue forecast. The general revenue forecast we had when I presented this information to you last year at our first committee meeting, and what the current general revenue forecast looks like. Don't focus too much on all the numbers. They're there really for reference. But the December 2020 forecast, which I discussed with you last year, actually showed our general revenue forecast to be approximately $1.5 billion below the pre-pandemic estimates, and about $1.1 billion below pre-pandemic estimates for fiscal year 22-23. Our current forecast, however, most recently revised in July, shows how much better that picture looks now, that showing collections expected to be actually approximately $1.2 billion above pre-pandemic forecast for the current fiscal year and for fiscal year 22-23. And you can see that more clearly here. This chart is a graphical representation of the data from the last slide. Again, the blue bar is representing the pre-pandemic forecast, the gray line, the December 2020 forecast, which is what we had at this time last year, and the dark blue line is the most recent GR forecast. By far, the largest adjustment in the forecast has related to sales tax, which is not surprising when you consider the components of general revenue. With this slide, I just want to show you the components of GR. Immediately in the pie graph, you can see the dominance of sales tax. That represents just over 78% of all general revenue dollars come from sales tax collections. Corporate income tax is a distant second at about 8.5% of GR collections. And documentary stamp tax, an even more distant third place at 3.6%. The remainder consist of a large and varied group, such as highway safety taxes and fees, alcoholic beverage taxes, tobacco taxes, and Indian gaming revenue, to name a couple. Similar to the general revenue table I showed you a couple slides ago, this table represents sales tax collections as they were anticipated in January 2020, and the sales tax collections anticipated with the GR forecast done in December of 2020 and August of 2021. And the story with sales tax collections is similar to that with the overall GR collections, which is not surprising given how much of our general revenue collections come from sales tax. The December 2020 forecast, which I discussed with you last year, actually showed our sales tax collections forecast to be approximately $1 billion below our pre-pandemic estimates for fiscal year 21-22, and about $750 million below pre-pandemic estimates for 22-23. Our current forecast, most recently revised in July, again shows significant improvement in the outlook for sales tax collections, now showing collections expected to be approximately $1 billion over the pre-pandemic forecast for the current fiscal year and $1.3 billion over the pre-pandemic estimate for fiscal year 22-23. Which again, you can see more clearly here. This is a chart depicting that data. And the story is similar to general revenue in that the current sales tax collection forecast on a year-by-year basis begins to exceed where we thought we would be pre-pandemic, starting with the 2021 fiscal year. That, Mr. Chairman, is a brief overview of revenues and what we're expecting from revenue.
Great. Thank you, Vince. Thank you for the presentation. Members, do you have questions on the presentation? Ranking member. Yeah, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. I have a few questions, but I'll be super brief about it. And thanks, Vince, for this great presentation. I just have three categories of questions: CIT, the unemployment rate, and then personal income and how it associates with the stimulus that she mentioned. So real quick, for corporate income tax, is there a reason why we don't consider it in your presentation as a key economic indicator that shapes revenue forecasts for slide six? Like, I'm just curious why we don't include CIT in a more thorough component of this presentation, and could we include that moving forward? Because I think $3 billion is a good indicator, but I'm just curious why we don't actually include it as an economic indicator.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the question, Representative Escalmani. So the economic indicators really are variables that are forecast in the Economic Estimating Conference. Corporate income tax collections are a component of the General Revenue Estimating Conference, so that is something that is forecasted there. There was no intention to not include it as a key variable, but it's really more, it's a revenue source. It's not something like the unemployment rate, which is a measure that's based on economic data.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Follow up.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Would love to give it a more thorough slide next time, because I just think it's such an important topic. And with that said, $3 billion in corporate income taxes. So we know that we still have the refund in place. And so it's already been estimated, my understanding, that in May of next year, there could be a $624 million refund that goes back to Florida's largest corporations because of Florida collecting more in income over that threshold. The forecasted surplus, is that forecast based upon this refund still being activated, or is it assuming there is no refund, just for that context?
Recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The current forecast includes that refund, so that's reflected in the numbers. It nets out that the amount of money expected to be refunded.
Got it.
Follow up.
Thank you, Chair. And do we have a list of those corporations receiving the refund, just for the members to have that insight?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do not. Generally speaking, and this is true for all taxes, taxpayer information is confidential. So that's not something that we have access to.
Okay. Chair, if I can, I'm going to switch topics a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you. You mentioned for the personal income growth, which, let me go back, I think it was slide seven. Yeah, seven. So I found this chart to be really, really interesting, just on the forecast, but also what the newest forecast is. And you mentioned the impact of the federal government stimulus and enhanced unemployment. Do we have any insight? Was there a conversation on what the July 2021 projection would have been if we did not have that federal support? Because this jump just seems like it's probably a national jump based on federal action, but I'm just curious if we have any idea of just how important that stimulus from both administrations at the federal level was to maintaining Florida's economic strength.
You're recognized if you want to answer one of those three questions I heard. So.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I don't recall any specific breakout of the impact of those things in the Economic Estimating Conference. I mean, one thing you could look at is the gray bar and the blue bar. Part of that is, you know, the forecast that was done in November 2020. And I guess some of that stimulus may have already been, the CARES Act money may have already been in place at that point. The short answer to your question is I'm not aware of a specific analysis done to show what portion of that increase is related to increases from federal payments.
There's a follow-up.
Thank you so much, Chair. Was there any conversation on poverty being alleviated in the state of Florida with this type of income growth? Did we see a shift of people moving out of poverty due to the stimulus's support?
Recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No. I mean, this is really the qualitative effects of the increase in personal income weren't part of the discussion.
Okay. And then one more question, Chair.
Follow up.
Shifting to unemployment. So you mentioned in your presentation that that there are still folks that are not back at work, right? Clearly, they're likely not receiving benefits anymore because the federal programs ended and they've likely already ended their regular UI if they were on it. So why? You know, was there a conversation? Are folks deciding to stay at home or folks back at school to re-educate themselves? Do we have any more indicators on the unemployment rate of, because obviously there's a job shortage, right? That's the big conversation among all of our public sector agencies right now is they're having trouble hiring people. Are people waiting for better paying jobs? What's kind of like some of the behind the scenes with that unemployment rate?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly, and again, I don't remember specific discussions with the Florida Economic Estimating Conference about that, but as you can see, our expectations for non-farm employment are lower now than they were, and yet there are questions as to why. Part of it has to do with the labor participation rate. That is the number of able-bodied folks that are actually, or the percentage of able-bodied folks that are looking for or want to have a job. That number has been lower. Economists have, I'm not sure that there's a consensus on exactly what's causing that. There's a number of factors. I guess that's my answer to your question.
Yeah, if I can make a couple comments there. I've spoken to many associations and different groups of people throughout the last several months, and we hear everything from lifestyle changes to cost of health care. It's better for one person to stay at home. Child care, pay scales. We've seen even fast food restaurants offer, you know, high entry wages and signing bonuses we've never seen before. So there is a dichotomy of reasons of why people don't want to go back to work, or maybe they've shifted their lifestyles. So you've probably heard that as well. I'm sure you're well informed on that. So thank you for that. Other questions, members? Yes, Representative Hart.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I greatly appreciate it. I just want to ask you a couple of questions as it relates to housing. I know that the doc stamp collection in 2021 topped the 2005-2006 peak, reached at the height of the housing boom. But now that SB 2512 is passed, can you speak to the projected total revenue and what amount will go to Sadowski, which amount will go to resilience and to water protection and the sustainable program trust fund?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Hart. You are correct. We did see record documentary stamp tax collections last year. The specifics of how those dollars are going to be distributed under the new law, I don't have, but I can get that for you.
Follow up, Representative Hart.
How long do you think it will take us for the Sadowski Trust Fund to be fully replenished of the over $2 billion that we've lost from that fund?
Rep Hart, that's more of a policy discussion. You're asking him an opinion, and I think we want him just to give facts. I don't think that's something he can comment on today. Thank you, though.
No problem. Well, let me just ask you this, and I know that you may not know, but I'll ask, and then maybe you can help me to find out. Do we have any idea when it comes to the housing cost? Are these people transit? Have you all heard anything about why are housing prices just skyrocketed? Is it because of people moving in, you know, bringing foreign different money to our state? Do we have any ideas as to what that might look like?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So again, this is another one of these issues where it's been widely observed, as I mentioned, I think we've all seen it, and people are wondering what exactly is causing these increases. There certainly has been, part of the issue appears to be a supply and demand issue. Construction may not have been as high as it could have been over the prior 10 years, and so there's an inventory issue. If you've got a lack of supply, that has an upward pressure on prices. That's just one example.
Representative Caruso, did you have a question?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I just wanted to get an idea of what your expectations of the overall budget was going to be this year.
Coming up. You're recognized to take a stab at that if you would like.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No is an acceptable answer if you want to give that one. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that's really a question that's more appropriate for the Appropriations Committee than us. We're more concerned with the dollars coming in, and the Appropriations Committee is where the budget's written. So I don't really have a good guesstimate on that.
Do you have a follow-up? Okay, good. Other questions, members? Representative Escamotti for another bite of the apple.
Thank you so much, Chair. It'll be a small apple. Just on this slide for median price single-family home. So Rep. Hart was talking more about just the cost of housing, and you provided some insight to that. I guess I'm just curious. This is the median. What's the range? You know what? Because looking at this chart, it seems like only certain type of people are able to purchase homes right now and to build wealth through that exchange of becoming a renter to a property owner. Do we know what the range is when it comes to the cost of homes being sold right now?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have that directly in front of me, but I would expect it to be something. There's probably some homes being sold that are very, very, very expensive, you know, multiple, maybe tens of millions in Florida. And there may be some that are being sold for, you know, less than $50,000. I don't know. I'm sure the range is very large. But
okay, one more.
If I appreciate that. If possible, I don't know where I can get my hands on more data around it, but to even see, like, you know, how heavy is that range? Is it more on the low side or the high side to get to that median? Just thinking about, are these out-of-country purchasers, right? Are these local folks that are just expanding their homes because they're working at home now? What's that economic shift? And are people not being a part of that economic shift? Because the fact that it's just increasing substantially makes me think that there are a higher demographic of people with more wealth that can make those purchases compared to those that are a growing renters community. That's my hypothesis looking at the data. But if there's some more insight into that, maybe we can help look at some more projections.
You want to add to that? You're welcome.
I can try to get you some additional information. Keep in mind the median price of single-family homes. So the median is, if you had 100 home sales, the one in the middle is the median. It's not necessarily the average. That could be different. But I can get you some additional information on home sales.
No other questions. Thank you for your presentation, Vince. And I know we'll have much more continued discussions on all these issues. We know that there's still a lot of uncertainty that still remains. We see in some cases inflation outpacing growth for the first time in quite a while as far as revenues. But if no other questions, I want to recognize there seems like there's a young group of folks here today, so thank you for visiting us. I'm not sure where you're from, but it's good to see you. It's good to see young people in our crowd, so thank you for being here. Additionally, we'll give you a notice of the next meeting. Certainly it won't be next week, but I thank everyone for their participation. So that concludes our meeting for today. Representative Hart moves we rise. Without objection, show the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.